Transformation of America by Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien. Chapter 29, The Lizard of Oz. After the opening of the Juarez border, I was kept actively busy according to the plan to use me up before my 30th birthday death sentence. I was subjected to a brutal, near-death gang rape celebration benefit at an identified Masonic lodge in Warren, Ohio to celebrate the free trade benefits gained by involved East Coast politicos. Centers such as the nearby Youngstown Charm School went into mass production of slaves to mule drugs or be part of the mind-controlled sex slave transport operations. Mexico was not the only country reaping the economic benefits of criminal free trade. After Kelly's ordeal in California, Dante and Houston were criminally exploiting her for literally all she was worth. Subsequently, she missed an extraordinary amount of schooling. When she was in school, she was experiencing difficulty with her peers. These factors prompted plans to send her to a local Catholic school the next year, where her unusual behavior would be overlooked and covered up. Soon thereafter, Senator Byrd came to Nashville to fiddle at the Grand Ole Opry and, as my handler, Houston, remarked, fiddle around with me at the Opryland Hotel. Byrd explained that close association with me had become volatile due to my roles in Iran-Contra and NAFTA, and therefore he would be distancing himself from me. He spent most of our last night together, working on his memoirs for a voluminous book on the U.S. Constitution he was writing, now published at taxpayers' expense, which focuses on his long-winded Senate filibuster speeches. Byrd attempted to strengthen my programmed loyalty bond to him to keep me quiet until death do us part. He told me, if it was up to me, I would let you live. He talked at length about how our time together had been infringed upon by both De La Madrid and Reagan. Bitterness over their stronger controls on me was evident as he mocked their self-appointed roles as the Wizard and Lizard of Oz. De La Madrid's fascination with U.S. mind-controlled slaves reportedly inspired him to combine Bush's lizard-like alien themes and his reputed Mayan roots/lizard-man theories with Reagan's Oz themes to claim the role of Lizard of Oz. From Byrd's ramblings, it appeared that his mockery of their roles was due to their having decided how his slave would die, and had nothing to do with caring that I would be killed. Byrd maintained his bonding programming charade all night. He played his fiddle and sang to me, in place of his usual torturous whipping and brutality. Sex was, for the first and last time, painless. Byrd had not distanced himself too far from me, though, where government operations were concerned. When I was, over the rainbow, in D.C. during the summer of 87, it was business as usual with Byrd. I was escorted to Goddard Space Flight Center where Byrd was waiting for me in a sterile hallway near the brass-rimmed, mirrored elevators. He was loaded down with items, which he deposited on a small table as he greeted me. He picked up a NASA ID badge and clipped it on my nipple, the metal teeth biting me with their serrated edges. When I, softly, cried out, he said, "Oh, okay. I'll wear it," removed it, and clipped it on his white lab coat. He handed me a NASA lab coat like his and a white hard bat. His hard hat suggestively and humorously said "hard" in bold red letters. My hat said NASA, in a mirror reversal of the standard bold red lettering. When I read it in a mirror, it appeared as though I were on the wrong side of the mirror and needed to step through, according to Alice in Wonderland / NASA programming. It also clearly indicated to those in the know that I was under mind control. Byrd looked at his pocket watch, prompting a wave of terror in me, and said in Wonderland cryptic, "We're late." As the elevator drops down the rabbit hole, we'll reverse time in order to get there a few minutes early. BVAD spun me around to face the elevator's mirror doors, saying, "Look deep into the mirror and be all that you can be by becoming infinitely lost in all that you see." Byrd timed his hypnotic induction so that then he ordered, "Step through the mirror," the doors opened and we stepped through. As the elevator supposedly went down 99, taken from Makino's corny reversal of 66, levels to the depths of hell, Bird told me the Earth spins faster and faster at the core, causing us to spiral downward in a tornado effect. I dropped deeper in my hypnotic trance. The elevator doors opened to what appeared to me as an exact replica of the floor we just left. However, this floor's hallway led to a computer room and sanitized-looking lab area. Several of the scientists working there were amused by our hats, prompting Bird to ham up his comedic act. Bird ignored the fact that these NASA workers, like many others, may have deliberately stroked his entertainer's ego because they relied on his appropriations for funding. Bird made me robotically announce to the workers, "He's taking me to your leader. I'm the commander here," the apparent director of the underground lab said. The workers again busied themselves as he stood, arms folded defensively across his chest, while his bespectacled intelligent eyes darted the room surveying the situation. The commander had a few gray strands salting his short, dark hair, yet his build was surprisingly youthful and trim for his age. He and Bird apparently knew each other quite well. Bird strode over to him, dragging me along. "Tom," Bird called to his 50-ish 61, "friend, this is your specimen of the day that I promised I would deliver. I will be most interested to see what you can deliver since diplomatic relations with Mexico depends on it. Not that I want to increase any pressure you may feel, but we need 7 more just like her to stuff in the mouth of his royal lizardry, de la Madrid, to keep him from spilling his guts on the project." "It's just as well, my friend," the commander said, stroking his chin without uncrossing his arms, "that way he can't talk without implicating himself." "That's the way the chief feels about it," Bird agreed. "He's already in deep anyway, but this order, for slaves, hits him closer to home since they'll be serving him personally." We walked to a clinical, sanitized area that had a maze of small rooms where I was undressed and prepped for the lab. A nurse of sorts injected me with the NASA tranquility drug and instructed me to put my lab coat back on. "Walk this way," she ordered as she led me down the hall, swinging her hips in an exaggerated manner. I immediately complied. The tranquility drug had no recreational effects, but produced an attitude of peaceful compliance to all orders given. As we approached the theater-type lab, a small group of men who would be in attendance were talking with Bird and the so-called commander. They looked at us and laughed at my literal compliance to walk like the nurse. I was then led by the commander to a backstage entrance, which was actually a glass-encased lab surrounded by seats in ascending rows. Scientists in NASA lab coats looked down on the lab table where I lay as the commander wired me up to a computerized machine. A camera was positioned high in one corner of the room, filming all that transpired. I was aware through conversations between Bird and the commander that de la Madrid had requested a video of the latest advancements in mind control technique being used to create his 7 slaves. In reality, the camera was filming scientific methodisms salted with comic misinformation as a humorous no to his request. Since I was considered used up, and my death was imminent, the commander told the scientists to feel free to fuck the lab specimen, but first, he said, "before you satisfy your mental and physical curiosities sampling the president's, Reagan's, wares, we must satisfy our president's, de la Madrid's, perverse intellect with a little space humor." He turned to one of the technical workers and said, "You're going to have to edit this tape for de la Madrid's benefit and take this part out while we prepare her for an off-color chameleon joke." A live lizard encased in a glass test tube of sorts was inserted in my vagina. The camera was focused on the area while my legs were spread in a birthing position. Acting as though I had conceived while having sex with de la Madrid, the commander said, "Now for the finished product, which in layman's terms equates to the reproductive offspring of a lizard breeding machine." He dramatically snapped on a rubber glove and probed me as though he were giving me a gynecological exam. In fact, he was opening the trapdoor of the lizard's tube to turn him out. Very slowly, the sluggish lizard poked his head out of my vagina and crawled out onto the metal table. This concludes all of the experimentation demonstration of the cloning of a presidential model, the commander said. I apparently had been selected as the prototype for the 7 programmed slaves de la Madrid had requested. De la Madrid was interested in NASA programmed slaves that would be vaginally mutilated like I was. He was sexually obsessed with the hideous carving. I have no way of knowing what, if any, technological advancements were actually provided to de la Madrid via the film. I only know that deliberate misinformation tainted the methodologies depicted, and that I had never experienced programming or testing before or at the time by any such methods. This video created for His Royal Lizardry was one of many cryptic lizard themes that NASA used in its Mexican operations. All of my programmed roles in Mexico involved the prolific, local, iguana lizards. De la Madrid had relayed the legend of the iguana to me, explaining that lizard-like aliens had descended upon the Mayans. The Mayan pyramids, their advanced astronomical technology, including the sacrifice of virgins, was supposedly inspired by the lizard aliens. He told me that when the aliens interbred with the Mayans to produce a form of life they could inhabit, they fluctuated between a human and iguana appearance through chameleon-like abilities, a perfect vehicle for transforming into world leaders. De la Madrid claimed to have Mayan/alien ancestry in his blood, whereby he transformed back into an iguana at will. De la Madrid produced a hologram similar to the one Bush did in his You Are What You Read initiation. His hologram of lizard-like dung and eyes produced the illusion that he was transforming into an iguana. While in Mexico, I was always ordered to wait by rocks where the abundant iguanas sunned before being transported to my scheduled meetings with His Royal Lizardry, the Lizard of Oz.